Listen, we're in the middle of a series on sexual purity. Sexual purity. And that's difficult in this day and age because we live in a sex-crazed world, don't we? I mean, it's difficult. I looked up a few numbers on a recent study. This was pretty staggering to me. That said in a recent study that on network television, there is a sexual reference every 4 minutes. Network TV. It also said that if network's no good, maybe you flip it over to some music videos. Sounds like a good idea, right? If you watch an hour of music videos, you see 93 sexual situations in 1 hour. Not a good idea. 75% of all sex shown on TV is by people that are not married, giving us the impression that that's okay. They said that an American teen sees 14,000 sexual references a year on TV alone. That's just TV, guys. That's just TV. They say that the pornography industry is a $15 billion a year industry in America. That's more than the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, and which one did I leave out? Major League Baseball combined. That's how big a problem this is in our society. That's how big a deal this is. And so you might say, well, it's difficult then. It is difficult to stay sexually pure in our society. It just is. Because it's one click away on your TV, it's one click away on your computer, and it's one moment of weakness away in a relationship. It's that close. So I can tell you this. It's difficult to be pure today. It's a challenge to be pure in our society today. I asked my 10-year-old, 10, fifth grader. I asked him a few weeks ago, I said, hey, have any of your buddies tried to look at something on TV or the internet that you didn't feel comfortable with recently? You know what he said? They did, Dad. They did. He's 10. And I thought, man, this is something we can't ignore anymore in the church. This is something we've got to talk about. And so this doesn't just apply to just a certain segment. It applies across the board. It doesn't matter if you're married or single, young, old, student. Every single one of us has to deal with this issue in our life. And so what the good news is God's got a lot of great things to say about it. God's got a lot of great things to say to help us. He nails this in so many different ways, but I want to just show you a few of the passages today that how we can be pure in a sex-crazed society, all right? You with me? So if you got your Bibles, it'll be on the screens also, but you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 3. God just says it this plain. He says, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed. Why? Because this is improper for God's holy people. God says, listen, there's a standard that I've got that is different than the world's standard, and my standard is not even a hint. And he says, I'm not talking about somebody out there. I'm talking about you guys. Does this go out? Is this working? Okay. He said, it's not for those people out there. He said, among you, among the believers, among the church, this is an issue because out there in the world today, we can't really control that. And I can tell you this, it is getting more acceptable, more accessible, or more despicable all the time. It is. But he's saying, listen, you can't worry about that out there, but among you in the church, we got to talk about sexual purity because it's not just out there, is it? It's in here. It's in this room. And that carries with it a lot of shame and condemnation and guilt, but if you allow Christ to work in it, it brings such great freedom. And he says, listen, there's no place for it in God's church. Any form of sexual sin must not be accepted. He said, not even a hint, didn't he? See, today's standards are different than that. We allow certain things up to a certain point and up to a certain line. Maybe it's okay. But God said, listen, not even a hint is okay. You know, when you think about the obvious things, we kind of went through a checklist last week. God said, hey, adultery's not good and homosexuality's not good and premarital sex is not good. Basically anything outside of the context of the relationship of commitment of marriage for life, anything outside of that is not good because it's not my best for you. Remember that? But not only that, not only the biggies that we think about, but think about this. If it's not even a hint of sexual immorality, then that goes a little deeper, doesn't it? That gets down to the TV shows you and I watch. That gets down to what's happening in our thought life. That gets down to the guys where our eyes go and are allowed to go or not allowed to go. Ladies, it might even get down to what you wear and shouldn't wear. It gets down to the such things as that not even a hint of sexual immorality. Say, man, what's the big deal? I mean, I think that's the question a lot of the people in our society say, well, what's the big deal? If two people are consensual and two people are in love, or hey, it's not a big deal. Hey, I can have multiple partners. And what, why is God such a stickler on this? Why is it so narrow and restrictive? Why is purity such a big deal? You say, hey, I want you to have a drink of water. I'm not going to throw it on you. But I am going to take a drink first. I'm going to have Mandy take a drink. And then Aaron's going to take a drink. And then, Eric, I want you to take a drink. Now, why wouldn't you take a drink if I take a drink and Mandy takes a drink and he takes a drink?
That's a whole lot of germs.
That's a whole lot of germs. This is purified water.
It wouldn't be by the time it got to me.
By the time it got to her, it wouldn't be pure. Is that true or not true? It'd be nasty water. Guys, if we don't want our water, our drinking water, to be contaminated by other people, why would we allow our bodies to be so? Why would we want to give our bodies away to other people and then expect it to be a pure and holy thing? God says, hey, listen, way more than you're drinking. You would probably survive drinking after me. But physically and emotionally and spiritually, if we give ourselves to other people after other people, we've gone way beyond drinking some backwash water. We have opened ourselves up. That's why purity is such a big deal. That's why the standard that God's got for us is absolutely no hint of sexual immorality, because he wants us to drink from the pure well of water that was meant to be enjoyed in a loving relationship. And anything else than that, anything shared outside of that, is just nasty water. Now, you guys might have heard a song growing up. I need your help on this one. I'm curious. I'm guessing most of you have heard this one. It goes something like this. Now, if you know it, start singing along with you, okay? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know this one? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. How many of you knew that song? There's some good truth in that, isn't there? When God says not a hint of... Give yourselves a hand. That was so beautiful. When God says, hey, listen, not a hint of sexual immorality, the first place I think we can look at is where our eyes go. That there's certain things our eyes should not see. We must be shield ourselves from them. We don't even need to give ourselves an opportunity to take some things in. Because there is way too many images and videos and situations that our eyes just can't handle. I think sometimes horses have more sense than we do. Because what they do with a horse, they put what? They put blinders on. They put blinders on them. And there's a reason for that. I had to look it up. The reason for that is, you know where a horse's eyeballs are, right? They're on the side of their head. They're on the sides of their head. And their peripheral vision, if they're running somewhere, they take in all these other things. And until they're focused with blinders, they can run off course. And we are the same way, guys. See, God's got a path for us to walk on. And if we don't put blinders on in what we see and we allow ourselves to take in all kinds of junk and become sexually impure through our eyes, we run off course every time. Every time. So we got to be careful, little eyes, what we see. There's another verse to that. You want to help me? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Keep going. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Why? Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little, where you go. What's that saying? If we're going to have not a hint of sexual immorality, there are certain places we should never go. There's certain places we should never go that it's just not okay to go to. I mean, I've heard of business meetings taking places in places our feet should never go in. If you're young and you're dating, or you're single again and you're dating, Don't be surprised if you get yourself in a situation where you're alone with somebody that you have feelings for and you mess up or you go too far or you cross a line you didn't want to cross. Don't be surprised if you find yourself alone with that person that you go further and deeper than you really wanted to go. Because that's a place you shouldn't go. Any place that's going to lead you to temptation like that is a place your little feet shouldn't go. My little feet shouldn't go. Could I add a verse? I'm going to feel like adding a verse today. This one's not in the original, but it says, oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. Be careful, little mind, what you think. In fact, listen to this scripture. Romans 8:5 says this. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. What God is saying is simply this. You will live how you think. If you have your mind set on selfish things and hurtful things and sexually impure things, it is only a matter of time before you live those things out in your life. But he says the opposite is true too. If you set your minds on the things of God and the Spirit of God, then you will begin to live a life that's different than the normal life, the average life, the human life. You begin to live a life that is dominated and influenced by the Spirit of God. So be careful, little mind, what you think. Don't allow things in because your mind is the battlefield. When it comes to sexual purity, I want you to understand it's not just a touch thing or a click thing. Really, the battlefield for our sexual purity, yours and mine, takes on in one place. And it's right here in our mind. So the first challenge, we're going to have a couple challenges today. The first challenge I really want you guys to grab a hold of. All right. Challenge number one is to make purity a priority. To make purity a priority, that this isn't just a little deal. Like we talked about last week, that you can't dabble in this or get away with something in this. Eventually, sexual immorality will catch up to you and hurt you. So make sexual purity a priority. If you think that this is a losing battle, if you've had a failure in this area in your life before and you're doubting whether it's really possible to have purity in your life, can I tell you something? God says purity is so important. He's saying, listen, I don't even want a hint of it in your life. I want you to be free from this. I don't want you weighed down by this. I don't want you taken out by this. I don't want you disabled by this. I want you living free from this. And I know somebody in this room sitting there thinking, that may have been true back then when those words were written. But, I mean, come on, today, we're supposed to be pure today. Can I tell you, I believe yes. In fact, I know yes. And the second challenge I want you to grab a hold of today is that purity is possible. Purity is possible. You think, I can't overcome this thing, or I've fallen so many times, or I've messed up so God's not going to forgive me, or this area is just ruined in my life. I can tell you something, God is really good at second chances. And it's possible to live pure in this life. Is it hard? Absolutely. I'm going to be honest with you, it's way more difficult today than it was for me when I was coming up. It's probably, if you got a little age on you, that's true for you too. But just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not possible. Just because it's not hard doesn't mean it's not possible. One of my favorite lines, I'm a big geek. I like the Lord of the Rings series. I just love that stuff. In the Two Towers, the King of Rohan, Theoden, they're going to meet this massive army of Mordor is attacking their ally. And they're coming and riding in their defense. But as they're gathering their troops and riding towards this battle, they realize they don't have enough men. I mean, they're like, we're going to get crushed. And so the generals come to the king and they say, King, we can't defeat this army. I love what Theoden says. He says, no, we cannot, but we will meet them in battle nonetheless. He said, we will die trying. Just because the odds are long or they seem impossible, it's not going to stop us from doing what's right. Guys, when it comes to sexual purity, you might feel like the odds are long against you. You might have had a history of it. You might have had past generations that have had problems with this. You may feel trapped in it today, but can I tell you, it is possible because there is a God that is with you who does the impossible. He can give you victory in this life. Purity is possible for each one of us in this room. You've got to resolve to do what's right. But here's the deal. If you don't realize that there's some lies being pushed into your life and you don't recognize those lies and you don't call those things out for what they really are, you'll let those lies defeat you. So let me just give you a few. If you're a student here today and you think it's the end thing to do to get involved sexually with somebody, that's a lie. Can I just tell you that's a lie? If you think that being a virgin isn't cool or that you're embarrassed by that or ashamed of that, can I tell you something? Somebody's feeding you a big lie. That's a huge lie. I mean, that's the best thing you could be sexually until you meet your mate. That's what everyone else is gunning for. And I'll tell you why there's pressure for you not to be a virgin. Can I tell you? Because the ones that have messed up don't want you to go through life without messing up yourself. Because they feel better about themselves if you mess up too. That's why there's that peer pressure there. So don't believe that lie. Men, don't fall for the lie that it's okay to window shop. Don't fall for the lie to think that, hey, it's only in my mind or it's only in my eyes or it's only in the internet and it's not in reality. Can I tell you something? That's very much real. And it's a lie to believe differently. Women, can I tell you there's a lie that you believe? The lie is that we need to attract men or get the attention of men by how we dress or how provocative we can be to allure someone sexually. Can I tell you that's a lie? That's a lie. God wants what's best for us. And what's best for us is purity. Heart, mind, soul, spirit, and body. God wants us to be pure. So here's how, guys. It is possible, and here's how it's possible. Galatians 5 says this. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. The acts of the flesh are obvious. And there's all these things that the flesh leads us to. Can I tell you something? The flesh is this right here. It's this body that you and I live in that's not really us. Do you realize this isn't really us? Somebody was talking about the funeral they had gone to, and they said, I'm not sure why people get so upset looking at the body. That's not them. And they're right. See, this flesh, though, we're trapped in this flesh until we get a new body, a body like Jesus Christ's body. But until we get that body, we've got to deal with this flesh. And the only thing this flesh likes to do is one thing, sin. It loves to feed itself. It loves to be selfish. It likes to feed its appetites. And this flesh, it says, the deeds of the flesh will lead you. If you just follow your default mode and you don't have the intervention of God and His Spirit and His power in your life, the default mode that you will lead to is what? Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. And so that doesn't make it sound very possible. Keep reading. It also says this. Skip down to verses 24 and 25. Says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. He's saying, listen, if you know Jesus Christ, you've got a leg up on this sexual purity thing because you don't have to live according to the flesh. You don't have to follow the desires of the flesh. You don't have to be selfish and wanting and taking from others. You can have self-control that is empowered and given to you by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Purity's possible, isn't it? In fact, if you follow Jesus Christ, purity will be probable. It will be probable. Can I tell you something? Sex is an appetite. It's an appetite. Let me ask you something. How do appetites grow? You feed it. Proof positive. Proof positive. The more you feed an appetite, the more it what? Grows. I have stretched this puppy out over the years. And I can eat more than I used to eat. Because as I want more and I eat more, then I want even more. Can I tell you something? That sexuality is the same way. If you feed your mind and you feed your flesh and you don't let your eye, you let your eyes go wherever they go and your feet wherever they want to go and your mind wherever it wants to go, you feed that flesh and it desires more and more and more. Your sexual appetite, if it is controlled and empowered by the presence of God and the Holy Spirit in your life, and you put you crucify the flesh with its deeds and its passions and its desires, then you will find that appetite being under control. Under control. If we choose to. If we let God in. If we allow him to influence our decisions and to help us, when we look to him for help and say, God, I have this appetite, and this appetite, it's calling to me, it's begging to me, it's wanting me to feed it right now. And if you have this presence and the Spirit of God in your life, you can call on him, and he says, listen, help me, God, help me with this appetite. And he will run to your rescue. He will flood in, because then you've turned your mind from the things of the flesh and you've said, hey, I'm going to set my mind on the things of God and the Spirit of God. And you say, God, I can't do this on my own. I can't resist this appetite on my own. But if you come and you meet me here and you help me, you will satisfy me in a level that I could never satisfy myself. That's what it means to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. He says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, since he's in us as a believer, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know what that means? You ever done the three-legged race? How many of you have done three-legged race before? Everybody should do three-legged race in your life. It is such a teachable moment. I hate the three-legged race. Especially with someone else that thinks that they're better at the three-legged race than you. Or they know how to tell you how to do the three-legged race. Because I want to be the one marking out the steps. How about you? Hey, you follow my lead. But this walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and walking in step with the Spirit, here's what it looks like. God says, okay, I'm going to walk you through life. I'm going to take you through life. But I'm going to wrap my leg around your leg. And when I step, you what? You step. And when I stop, you what? Stop. When I go, you go. That's what it means to be walking in step with the Spirit. You say, okay, I'm going to listen to your leading. And when you say stop, I stop. And when you say go, I go. And when you say this is the cadence we're going in, that's how you move. That sounds like something that's going to take part every day of my life. Yeah. This might be something that's going to reoccur over and over in my life. Absolutely. This may be something I've got to be listening and sensitive to God's leading in my life. Yes. This sounds hard. Not really. Because get this. We're either listening to our flesh or we're listening to the Spirit. We're either listening to the flesh or listening to the Spirit. God says, I don't want you to go where your little eyes and your little mind and your little feet want to go. I don't want you to go there because that is a cesspool of water. That water has been drank out of time and time and time again. And you don't want to expose yourself. This purity thing's too big a deal. And so I might lead you, and it might be uncomfortable for you to get in step with me, but the price is too high to drink after literally hundreds and hundreds of people. If you start thinking about, if you start getting involved in sexuality outside of marriage, you are exposing yourself to people that have had people who have had people who have had people. And this water becomes very, very nasty. So here's challenge number three. Challenge number one, what was it? Make purity a priority. It's worth pursuing. The second thing you got to understand is purity is possible, and that's true for everybody in here. If you know Jesus Christ, he can give you purity as you keep in step with him. The third thing you need to know about purity is it's proactive. Purity is proactive. What do I mean by that? You've got to decide beforehand that this is what you want. You've got to decide beforehand where you will and will not go. You've got to decide beforehand what you will and will not look at. You've got to decide in dating, this is how far I can go and this is how far I will not go. You have to make those things plain in your heart and your mind and vocalize them and verbalize them and tell other people, hey, this is where I stand on this. And if I ever get out of line on this, you call me to it, because I'm going to decide now that purity is important. And I'm not going to wait for the moment, because hear this. If you wait for the moment, your flesh will deceive you. Your desires will be very strong. If you put yourself in a situation you know you're not supposed to be in, it'll start to feel like love. You'll convince yourself that it's going to be okay. You'll tell yourself that, hey, this time, this person really loves me. Or this time I can get away with it and no one will know. This time I'll do it and it really won't get down into my heart. But it will. So here's what we got to do. We got to take a purity challenge. And if we're going to be proactive about this, we've got to decide, maybe for most of us, today is the day we need to decide that this purity thing is worth pursuing. That this is what I want to be true of my life. I don't want sexual immorality to sidetrack or ruin my life. I want it today. And if you can say that today, then you need to mean it. You need to make this vow between you and God. We're going to ask you to make a vow here in just a moment. Say, hey, for the rest of my life, as I get led by the Spirit, I only want to have sex when God says it's okay to have sex between a husband and a wife. True story, one of my best friends, he made one big mistake as a teenager. I mean, he really messed up as a teenager. He got into sexual sin. I mean, he blew it. And as a teenager, he made one choice that has affected his life literally every day since. He's in his mid-30s. Every day since, it has affected his family. Every day since, it has affected his life and his new family. Every day since, it has affected his ministry. There's things that he can't do and can't be a part of because he messed up one moment of indiscretion, one moment of weakness, one moment of living by the flesh and not by God's standards. One moment. And you know what he said? I can't undo it. I can't. If I could go back and tell myself then, hey, just stop. Just get in step with God and study yourself. If I could go back and undo that, I would do it in a heartbeat, he said. But I can't go back. You know, I think for a lot of us, the question when we look at what kind of water we're drinking, it's almost like the question is, how much sewage can I drink and still be not sick? How much sewage can I drink and still be okay? How much sewage can I drink and still look all right to everybody else? And that's not the question, guys. The question, obviously, is how far away can I stay from this? How far away can I get and walk with God and not be drinking of something I don't need to be drinking of? So we're calling you to decision today, guys. We're going to ask you to make a vow. You students that are here, we thought about this intentionally for our students because you students have pressures that are amazing. But we want you to make a vow, a purity vow, not to us, but between you and God, that you would say, hey, listen, God, with your help, I want to stay pure until my wedding day. I want to stay pure. I don't want to mess up in dating. I don't want to look at stuff I shouldn't look at. I want to walk with you and enjoy the very best that you have, the pure water you want me to drink. If you've already blown it, you can renew that vow today. You can step into a new vow today. Your purity, your sexual purity can start today. And because God is great at do-overs, he will allow you to start with a clean start and a fresh slate. And from this day forward, you can walk in sexual purity with your God. How'd that sound? That sounds good, doesn't it? See, a vow is a promise to God and to yourself that purity is your priority. I've had this verse hanging up in my house in various places for years. I think it's a beautiful vow of what it means to live in sexual purity. Psalm 101 verses 2 and 3 says this, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. It's a priority. I will walk in my house with integrity of heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. And this psalmist, David, when he wrote this, said, God, I'm making a vow to you that my purity is important. And by your grace and by your power, I'm going to walk in purity. I know it's possible. And so I'm making a vow that that's what you want. And that's what I want for myself. I'm going to ask you to take the challenge today. And in just a moment, here's what we're going to do. We're going to bring the lights down and the band's going to come up and sing. But here's what I want you to do. Just between you and God, if you want to say, God, I want sexual purity in my life from this day moving forward. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. From this day moving forward, I'm yours. I want purity in my life. We're going to ask you to come up and just write your name on that board and say, I'm in for sexual purity. I'm making a vow to my God that I'll live with integrity of heart and put nothing before my eyes, no vile thing. And if you're a student, we got a bracelet we want to give you to remind you of your vow that you wear as a reminder that says, hey, listen, I no longer belong to myself. I belong to my God. And he wants purity for me. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, God, we thank you that your standard for us is purity. Not even a hint of sexual immorality is what you desire for us. God, you do that because you love us. God, I thank you that today we can start afresh and start new. That what you have for us is better than what we've had for ourselves. God, that what you desire for us is clean, purified, wonderful, beautiful water that only you can give us through our spouse. God, if we've blown it up to this point, I know some of us are sitting here with shame and condemnation. God, I pray against that in the name of Jesus, that we would no longer believe the lie that that's who we are, that today we can have a fresh start. And God, for our students, I pray, God, that they wouldn't feel pressured by their peers or pressured by the message, but they would feel the conviction of you from on high, that this is what you want from them, and that they would make a vow, God, that they would say, God, I want to be clean. Will you help me? God, I want to be sexually pure and save myself for that special day with my spouse. God, would you give them not only the conviction today, but every day moving forward that that is your best for their life. And would you empower them to live according to the Spirit and not to the flesh? God, as we now want to respond to your word, I pray that you would just open our hearts to receive it and to live it in the name of Jesus. Amen.